Hello everyone, this is Jay Finello. I'm the former president and founder of Iperdome. Thank you for joining us for today's press conference. In order to cover our announcement, we'd like to go through just a little bit of the background leading up to today's announcement, and also a little bit about where we think this thing is going and how we see this being resolved in the future. To start out, Iperdome started in January of 97 to offer personal domain name services under the .per top-level domain. We were one of the first companies to offer registrations in a new TLD, one of the first companies to offer branding services, including web and email redirection services, and we're one of the first companies to offer discrete domain name assignments, something that's being pursued now by the .name top-level domain. After we enjoyed initial success, our business model was embroiled in a public debate surrounding internet governance. In an effort to do the right thing, Iperdome agreed to support the IFWP, which was a worldwide process outlined by the U.S. government to resolve the dispute. For almost 2 years, Iperdome fully participated in the process that eventually led to the formation of ICANN, the Internet's new governing body. According to the Commerce Department, ICANN was to be, quote, a globally and functionally representative organization operated on the basis of sound and transparent processes that protects against capture by self-interested factions, that provide robust professional management, that is fair, open, and pro-competitive, and that will evolve to reflect changes in the constituency of Internet stakeholders. Experience has shown ICANN to be anything but. Instead of embracing all members of the Internet community, it has instead pursued exclusionary tactics to marginalize and ignore all who have differed with ICANN's predetermined solution to the namespace expansion. In response, Iperdome suspended operations on September 24, 1999, after a dispute with then-ICANN President Mike Roberts. Today's decision ends almost 2 years of deliberations. For the last 2 years, we have explored other remedies. We have explored both private and public legal actions. We've appealed to Congress, the Attorney General, the Justice Department, the GAO, the ACLU, several nonprofit foundations, members of the media, Washington lobbyists, venture capitalists, angels, several ICANN board members, and we've even explored legal actions by several secretaries of state. The end result of all these inquiries is that ICANN is fully insulated from legal challenges and immune from any actions Iperdome could possibly muster. Even if Iperdome were to be awarded .per tomorrow, it would still have been irreparably harmed by the continued delays in gaming by ICANN and the name expansion process. For these reasons, Iperdome has reached the following conclusion. We will hereby relinquish all claims to .per, and we will seek reparations from ICANN. The reason that we believe that this has happened is predatory capitalism run amok. It's a system where the strong and powerful use their money and influence to squash weaker competitors. It's a system where might is right, and how you play the game is not nearly as important as winning. It's a system that is at odds with the very nature of the Internet. For this reason, Iperdome believes that ICANN will eventually be reformed to reflect its founding principles as expressed by the U.S. Commerce Department. At that time, Iperdome will seek reparations directly from ICANN for the harm it has inflicted on Iperdome's investors. I'd like to point out that this is consistent with one of the proposals under the OpenRSC effort that was involved in the IFWP process. OpenRSC founder Einar Steffenrud had always suggested that we have fair hearing panels to fairly and equitably treat everyone who's participated in the process to date. Instead, we've had a pretty unfair, one-sided solution that has driven a lot of small companies, a lot of the weak companies, out of business. We fully support this type of solution. We think it's the only thing that will get us past all of the continued fighting that we're seeing. And in fact, the fighting hasn't ended. You can see that in the recently concluded at-large study committee meeting. Representation on the ICANN board is something that will be contentious and will be continue to be fought about for many years. For this reason, we expect that our fully reformed ICANN is at least years away, if not decades. In closing, we'd like to say that this is our vision for the future, and we think it's the only way that all of these problems will be put behind us. And I look forward to your questions. Thank you. Anybody have any questions?
Yeah, actually I do. It's Maureen Thurl from Technology Daily. So what does this mean? Does this mean you're fully ending your business operations with that fir, and you know, anyone that's registered under that extension, it's now null and void?
That's correct.
Okay.
Actually, when we suspended operations, our registrants' domains were inactivated at that time. So the main change right now is we are relinquishing our claims to .per. And for example, we had been working with new.net to protect the .per top-level domain, and they had been working with us to do so. We are relinquishing that, and others are now free to use .per.
Okay. Did you apply to offer the .per during ICANN's process last year?
No, actually we didn't. If you follow the history, we had our dispute with Mike Roberts before that decision-making process came along. And in that dispute, Mike Roberts admitted that there was no way that we would be awarded .per under his administration.
So was that the reason that you did not apply?
That was the reason. We felt that a $50,000 lottery, given the biases expressed by the ICANN president, simply didn't warrant an investment on our part of that sum. I would also point out that recent history has shown that to be a proper decision.
How was .per operating prior to that? Was it on an alternate root system? Could you explain sort of the technology behind it?
Yes, actually, we were very similar to new.net. We had multiple methods of operation. We were not only in the alternate routes, OpenRC, EDNS, I can't remember them all, UDNS, there was a lot of them at the time, but we also resolved under the legacy route under the extension .per.new and .per.2.
So is NewNet then going to adopt .per now that you've relinquished your claim to it?
I think the new.net model is one where they will operate some TLDs and they will support others who operate TLDs. So by us relinquishing our claims to .per, it's now open for either new.net to run a .per registry or some other company who wishes to do so to do so.
So are you going to suspend or take down your website and dissolve the company Iperdome?
The status of the company is not determined at this point. It will most likely be dissolved. However, the claims of the shareholders will continue to be pursued by myself, or the company will remain in existence and will continue to pursue the claims of the shareholders as a separate entity. The website will remain up for posterity's sake, and there's a lot of good documentation on the history of this battle, and that will remain online, hopefully forever.
I feel like I'm asking all the questions here, but I'd like to know, you said you can't pursue legal challenges to ICANN until it's reformed. Can you describe what you envision by reformed? I mean, would that be something where there's a specific body that has oversight of ICANN that you can appeal to?
Absolutely. You know, we haven't always, but shortly after we got involved in this, we realized that we were in the process of setting up Internet governance. The vision of that governance is laid out in the white paper, which was used to justify the creation of ICANN. The white paper is not a bad document, and we can fully support the intentions behind the white paper. What's happened is the actual implementation of the white paper has been captured, and ever since, the decision-making processes of ICANN have been corrupted. We believe that the Internet will not allow this situation to continue indefinitely. Right now, we certainly don't have a base of support to successfully challenge and reform ICANN. We're quite a long way away from that. It's probably going to take many years, if not decades, for that to happen. When that occurs, there will be some kind of resolution process within ICANN that is independent and fair. ICANN has already toyed with the idea of having an appeals panel. However, all of the iterations of that appeals panel have included board members and appointments of board members. So even the appeals process is a captured process. We suspect that eventually over time that there will be a fair appeals process, and when that happens, we will pursue a claim against ICANN for our damages.
Why not just sue them in a U.S. court?
Because ICANN has been formed with some of the greatest legal minds in this country, antitrust lawyers of Jones and Day, and based on all of the legal input that we've been able to receive, they're pretty isolated and insulated from any kind of legal challenges. They have yet to really seriously been under threat from any source, and it'll remain interesting to see if .biz gets anywhere with their legal challenge.
When you say you've gotten wide input on that statement, can you give me names of people who have said that? Like, I'd be keen to find out, given the amount of skepticism among, for example, members of Congress, who is saying, you can't touch ICANN?
That is a result of over 3 or 4 years of participation on the Boston Working Group list. Are you familiar with that list?
No. Would you go into a little bit of history behind that?
Yes. If you go back to the IFWP process, it was a process where the U.S. government suggested that the Internet community come together and find a solution, a governing body for the Internet. Several proposals were put forward. One of them was by the IANA, which eventually morphed into ICANN. One of them was by OpenRSC, one of the organizations I mentioned previously, and its website is www.open-rsc.org. And one of them was by a group calling themselves the Boston Working Group. The Boston Working Group's legacy is a carryover from the final IFWP meeting. The final IFWP meeting was the last in a series of 5 worldwide meetings where all of the consensus points from the Internet community were going to be used to draft the bylaws for the new organization, which would eventually become ICANN. The final meeting was canceled when the IANA refused to participate. The members of the Boston Working Group decided to meet anyway, and so they met in Boston, and hence that's how they got their name. Ever since that time, the Boston Working Group has grown to encompass many of the most knowledgeable players in the ICANN Internet governance debate. It includes people behind ICANN Watch. Over half of the panel that participated at the ALSC conference on Monday were Boston Working Group members. So there's a tremendous amount of knowledge within those ranks. 2 of the members of the Boston Working Group are actually board members. Actually, 3, former and current board members of the ICANN board, have been members of Boston Working Group. So it's quite a knowledgeable body. It includes policy wonks. It includes international legal experts. It includes international government experts. So there's quite a bit of knowledge that is encompassed in the comments that we made here today.
Did someone from the Justice Department, Antitrust Division, or anything else make that statement to you too?
We have been in communication with the Justice Department and the Antitrust Division of the Justice Department, and they have given preliminary indications that they were investigating ICANN, but nothing ever became of that. We've also participated fully with the GAO investigation, and we publicly declared that the outcome of the GAO investigation was a whitewash. Maureen, don't feel bad. You're one of the few reporters who decided to cover this event, so you have the floor.
What do you do now that the business model is no longer in existence?
Well, I haven't been doing anything with Iperdome other than an occasional public statement like this since September of 99, when Iperdome officially suspended operations. Currently, I am the principal at a firm called Finello.com, and we do internet coaching. I'm also the principal behind YourWebPartner.com, and we do web support.
But I'm curious, though, why not? I mean, there were a lot of different people that, for whatever reason, were not chosen by the ICANN board in, to offer a new top-level domain like that. And Mike Roberts, certainly, while he was CEO of the group, was not the sole decision-maker. I wonder that you didn't go to anyone else on the board to appeal to someone else on whatever it was that Mike said in terms of not wanting to let you have a crack at offering a new top-level domain.
You have to understand that it wasn't Mike Roberts' comments per se that led us to the decision to suspend operations. It was more Mike Roberts' confirmation of a pattern of abuse and a pattern of actions that we had detected in ICANN since its formation. it was that confirmation that caused us to suspend operations. And by the way, we had spoken to other board members, including Esther Dyson and other members of the board who were on the Boston Working Group list. However, as previously stated, the way that ICANN is structured, having access to a board member or two doesn't really have any influence over the actions of the ICANN staff.
What is it specifically the staff does?
The staff makes decisions without consulting the board and really only uses the board when it needs cover. I can't even tell you the number of times that we've had board members complain that they have learned information about what ICANN is doing from the Boston Working Group site list and not from the staff. The staff is pretty much on autopilot. And in fact, when the at-large board members were elected, ICANN changed its governing structure to include an executive committee, which is a subset of the 19 board members that are making decisions for the rest of the board in private. So the entire process really is a top-down kind of authoritarian rule version of internet governance, and the decision-making process is very clouded and obscure. We really don't know who's pulling the strings, but we know that the intent behind ICANN is not being followed, and that's why it's so contentious and debated today.
I guess that does it for my questions. I'm the only one here.
Okay, is anybody else out there that would like to ask a question? If not, we'll wrap up this press conference. This will be recorded and available online, and we will also send out a press release confirming this information in detail. And please feel free to contact me at jay@finello.com if you have any further questions.
Jay, will you be putting out a statement or your prepared remarks that you gave earlier?
Yes, we will.
Okay, great. And where can I find that?
We'll put it out on PR Newswire, plus we'll also, you're on our private press list, so you'll receive a copy directly as well.
Great. Okay. Thanks, Jay.
Okay, thank you, everyone.